welcome to the Film Podcast. What's up? How's everybody doing? You guys are back. Everybody's back except Jenny.
So that's just the way it's going to work from here on out. Like, we're never all going to be in the same room together ever again.
Oh, that's sad.
It's going to be like magic. How's everybody doing? As always, I'm Ricardo.
I'm Adam Scott.
I'm Kevin.
It was weird without Jenny being here.
Yeah.
And then
yeah.
Plus I'm really tired because we're starting later than normal.
I know.
So we're just kind of spacing out. This is going to be... I was thinking this is going to be a shorter one since there's only three of us, but I think I feel like I'm just going to space out.
Yeah.
We're going to have to cut out the long pauses, the Chekhovian pauses.
I feel like I've been on a night schedule lately. I've shot two nights in a row on night shoots, so I feel like I'm, it feels weird being out in daylight. But yeah, so what's going on? Anything, any new news? You came back, you were out for a week, you were out filming a documentary.
I was.
In Dallas?
Yep.
And you said you had a lot of fun, a lot of good food?
I had a lot of fun, there was a lot of good food in Dallas, a lot of good margaritas. Didn't really find much on the documentary, but...
That sucks.
It was interesting, it was just kind of a moving history lesson, but... not as exciting, ultimately, as we would have liked it to be.
Very cool, very cool. But it's always good to get some good food, so...
Yes.
Right?
Good food and alcohol is always... That's always a plus.
It's a key. It's a key to life, I feel. All right. So, any new stuff you guys seen in theaters? What's going on with you guys? Talk to me. Goose?
this week I saw Warm Bodies and I saw Side Effects.
Warm Bodies. Let's talk about that. I saw that 2 weeks ago. I think I talked about it last week.
You saw it before last week's episode.
Yeah. So, Warm Bodies?
There's stuff that I liked, but there were times I'd be like, oh, this is good. And then I'd be like, oh, wow, really? It had some pretty cheesy, crappy stuff in it. And then it'd be really good again, and then it would go back to being cheesy, crappy. So it was like, throughout the entire movie, I felt very mixed with my emotions because it had some really cool stuff in it. And there was a certain point in the film where I went, I have had similar internal dialogue as Nicholas... as the main character, except for the whole like eating human flesh. I was like very relatable. I related to him a lot.
Also, I feel like the movie asks for big leaps of faith, like huge leaps of faith.
Yeah.
Like where you're like, well, this isn't in like the zombie genre, you know, like it was just weird. Did you see this, by the way?
I haven't seen a movie. It's been an off month or however many days it's been, so I haven't seen anything new in a while.
All right. Well, we'll forgive you for that. I thought it was fun. The mm-hmm. music, the music was made in the movie
great.
For me, right?
Yeah, and I mean, and it's utilized really well at times, and I love that.
Yeah, I really enjoyed the all even like it was just cool that he liked vinyl, but I also didn't understand like. Well, the other ones don't have a house to live in, and they don't have record players, and all right, well, we'll go with it.
He's got his own house.
Yeah, so. And then you saw what else?
Side Effects.
And how was that?
I loved it.
Really?
It is, I based off the trailer, I was like, wow, this is went in a different direction than I thought it was going to go in, and it was great.
Really?
Yeah, it's a really good mystery.
I'm really curious about it. It's one of my favorite directors, and...
I really don't want him to retire. After watching, I'm like, why does he feel that there's nothing else to do with film? Because you can still tell a great story, and he can still shoot a movie and make it look amazing, but yet he feels that there's nothing else he can do in filmmaking.
And also, he's... isn't he going to do one more movie? He's doing Behind the Candelabra, right?
Yeah, the Liberace?
Yeah, the Liberace movie.
Yeah.
So I'm curious to see how that. I'm sure he didn't change anything, right, to make it into. Because I feel like
I don't think he would
like change his style or anything. Because I feel like some directors kind of make a TV movie sometimes for HBO instead of making a
true.
Movie.
I don't think I wouldn't expect him to change his style.
Yeah. All right. What else? Anything else you saw?
Nope, that's it.
All right.
I've just been rewatching things. I haven't seen anything new. I rewatched The Conversation.
Ooh, that's a good one.
I like even more now.
Is that on Blu-ray?
Yes. Mm-hmm. There's actually, I don't know if it's still going on, but the day that I watched it, I came really close to buying this Coppola 5 film box set. Because like, I was like, I should get Conversation on Blu-ray. And it was like $15. And then I saw there's a special Coppola 5 film box set that contains the same version of The Conversation for like $28.
Oh, wow.
And it's like Apocalypse Now, Tetro, One from the Heart, The Conversation, I think something else.
Is it what version of Apocalypse Now is it?
It's the 2-disc Blu-ray version. So not the 3-disc, not the one that comes with Hearts of Darkness, but the one that's got the regular and the Redux.
That's perfect.
That's all you need.
Yeah.
What else did I see? I didn't see anything, man. Nothing's Warm Bodies. So I am gonna go see Die Hard tomorrow. No, the next day. What, on Valentine's Day. It's a nice Valentine's Day movie, so I'll be watching that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Besides that, nothing else. Bunch of TV stuff. I haven't found... Well, you lent me Martyrs and...
Inside.
And but I'm going to watch them.
You're too scared to watch Martyrs by yourself.
Yes. Well, both. And Jenny said, I'll come over and watch them. So my girlfriend's leaving on vacation for 2 weeks. So I'll wait for that because she hates horror movies. So I can't really watch it, you know, when she's here.
And you can't watch it alone.
And I can't watch it alone. Yeah. So it's really weird. So Jenny will come over and watch them. And then it's funny because we used to watch like the first season and second season of American Horror Story. And it's kind of, some parts are scary, you know? Mm-hmm. And then she'd watch it, be here really late, and then have to leave and then drive to her house. And she's like, you're lucky you get to just lock the door. But I got to drive. I got to walk to my car, then walk out of my car into my apartment. So, but yeah, so I'll be watching that
after one or both of those movies. She'll probably just want to stay on the couch.
Yeah, that's just...
Yeah, really?
That's true. Yes.
Wow. Interesting.
I didn't want to leave my bedroom that I watched it in by myself after watching it. I was like, I don't think I need to go into the rest of the house for the rest of the night. I'm good.
Hmm. I'll have to lock my doors properly. All right. Should we get into the list?
Today is there a stream of the week?
I don't have one. Do you guys have one?
I have one.
What do you got?
It's a 6-hour-long film.
Whoa.
Called The Best of You. It's an Italian film that is that I love. It's amazing.
Didn't somebody recommend that? It was you who's recommending that to me.
Yep, it was me. It's a movie.
I was like, somebody tell me about that movie. And it was you.
I love it. I mean, it's 6 hours long. I watched it twice, and both times I only take breaks to use the restroom.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Well, you have to.
Your
couch would be soiled.
That would be bad.
Yeah. So what is it called again?
Best of Youth.
Best of Youth on Netflix.
Yep.
Streaming. Very cool. Anything else you've been streaming on, like Vudu or anything? I've been really wanting to watch John Dies at the End.
I want to watch that.
It's playing on Vudu, so I might check that out.
I need to watch Sound City.
Yes.
Is that on demand?
It's on Vudu. It's on Amazon. I don't know if it's on Vudu.
I don't think it's on Vudu, but it's on Amazon.
It's on Amazon. Check that
out. Yeah. Maybe we should get in on that deal. You know, pay half, go halvesies on it. Have a movie night. All right.
So $1 each.
Yeah. Is it $2?
It's like $3.99 on Amazon.
Well,
I think so.
That's standard definition.
Okay. I'm sorry.
I don't go for that.
$4.99.
So
yeah.
$4.99. We'll each pay $1.30.
Yeah. All right. So let's get into the list. We're talking about survival films today. And now, did you guys do Man vs. Wild, or you guys did just survival, period?
I did pretty much kind of Man vs. Wild.
I did too.
I don't know, it's kind of willy-nilly. It's just kind of whatever stuck in the list. I just threw movies at the list, and whatever stuck to the list, that's what's on the list.
You did the other way around. You put a dart on the wall and threw paper at it.
Yes.
And whatever stuck.
Yeah.
Okay. Interesting. All right, well, Kevin, why don't you take it away with the number five?
Okay. So my number five, probably my most controversial for the list, because it is kind of Man versus Wild, but it's also Man versus Man. And it's The River Wild from 1994.
Ooh, with the bacon?
With the bacon and the strip.
The bacon and the strip?
Yeah, Meryl Streep.
The bacon strip.
The bacon strip. I for a while, I just was like kind of like whatever about this movie. And then a bunch of, like several years ago, I just watched it a bunch of times because I had a roommate who loved the film. And it is really good. And being a fan of whitewater rafting, every time I watch this, I just want to go out on the river. Meryl is great. Kevin Bacon is awesome in this. It's got a great cast. David Strathairn is great. John C. Reilly. And it's a really good thriller. And it's also, I mean, for a film that is kind of man versus wild, I mean, the river is a very scary element. And towards the end, when it gets to the part where people have died, it can be kind of terrifying, especially since there's a young child involved. But it's a lot of fun. And like I said, Kevin Bacon is, he's really, really good in this film.
Who's the kid in that? I feel like
it's
the kid from Jurassic Park. Isn't it?
Oh, okay,
Joseph.
Okay.
Joseph Mazzello.
There you go.
Yeah, he was. He was in The Social Network.
The Social Network, yeah. And The Pacific. Yeah, he's a good actor.
Yeah, yeah, and like, I mean, he's doing good now.
Mm-hmm.
It's funny. I always see him at the down street from me. There's a my local hamburger spot, the counter that I like to go to, and I always see him in there. And I always want to go up to him and go, dude, Jurassic Park, man, right on. But I'm like, everybody must do that. But he doesn't look like he did when he was a kid. He looks very different, I feel. I don't know. But it's a good movie. And mm-hmm. Strathairn playing a bad guy.
No, Strathairn's a good guy.
He's really? The dad.
Yeah, he's the dad. It's Kevin Bacon. Bacon's. Kevin That's Bacon right. and John C. Reilly.
That's what I'm confusing Kevin Bacon's character and John C. Reilly's character. Somebody's phone buzzing, Kevin. Damn you.
I have it on Do Not Disturb. I don't know why it's buzzing.
If you Are they a favorite?
Yeah.
No.
Who's your favorite, dude? Tell us. Let's see your favorites list. Let's see your top five favorite people that you have on your phone.
So we're doing that list now.
Yeah. All right. So your number five is The River Wild.
Yep.
Very cool.
Good pick. Honorable mention.
Yeah. Who directed that? Do you know by any chance?
Anybody? Curtis Hanson.
Curtis Hanson?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, it was... it was Devin, our friend Devin, who came in to talk about Chasing Mavericks. Because Curtis Hanson got replaced on that, remember?
Mm-hmm.
I was going to ask, what was his last movie? And I answered my own question. Chasing Mavericks. And then he got replaced.
For health reasons, though.
Yeah, it was for health reasons. He was going low and nutty. Okay. Adam.
So my number five is from 1972. And it's Deliverance.
Ooh, that is a good one.
It's a great one.
Yeah.
I didn't know if this one really counted, but I mean, they're man versus wild, and then wild man shows up.
Yeah, so,
yeah, yeah.
I do enjoy this movie. It is very creepy. Something about hill people with banjos.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah.
But also, I enjoy the movie. But the reason, like, if we were doing books, Deliverance would be my number one because the book is amazing. I listened to it recently. It's read by Will Patton, and it's amazing. Like, just go listen to that. I love the movie, but Will Patton narrating the book Deliverance is amazing.
Sounds pretty awesome.
Yeah, it's really good.
Of Remember the Titans, right?
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
I
like that guy. Even though he has, like, the same, like, kind of southern accent, mm-hmm. like, he... is very he's a character actor, but he's very different in each role.
He's mm-hmm. very charming.
Yeah,
yeah.
And which made his role in The Postman very interesting as the bad guy.
Yes.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
But back to Deliverance.
Yeah.
This is one of those movies where just kind of the first time I watched it, it was unsettling, and I just didn't really know where it fit as far as movies I liked. But I did really, it stuck with me, and I rewatched it, and I do really enjoy it. I love Burt Reynolds and John Boyd's sort of interactions together.
Yeah.
And then having listened to the book, it kind of just adds a bunch of different levels to watching the movie. It's really interesting. And then James Dickey, the guy who wrote it, is just kind of a fascinating character.
Yeah.
But the whole idea of the suburban man wanting to kind of conquer the wild and then biting off more than he can chew and then just adding on hardships after hardships.
Yeah.
It's really interesting.
I mean, all you have to know is Burt Reynolds is in this.
Yes.
That's really...
in like a vest.
In a vest.
Just the vest.
Yes.
With a bow and arrow.
With a bow and arrow.
Fishing.
Yeah.
Like, really, you don't have to pitch anything else. Like, you just go, hey, it's Burt Reynolds is in this. You know? Done.
And then I guess James Dickey, the guy who wrote it, the screenplay and the novel, is also an expert archer. And so he was kind of the one who taught Burt Reynolds about archery. And Burt Reynolds just kind of picked it up naturally. And they got along really well, both being like natural athletes and whatnot. But it's just fascinating, like the backstory. Because in, I I think in the book Deliverance, or I read something that James Tickey had written about working on the movie. It was really fascinating.
Yeah, yeah. It's funny. I just heard an interview with Joe Carnahan. He was talking about the same thing about Tickey talking about Deliverance. And like, I don't know if there's a book on it or now there's a documentary, but he talked about that.
I think maybe it's one of the special features on the DVD.
Yeah, yeah.
Is them talking with James Tickey and then just him talking about his process with John Boorman and how James Tickey thought that John Boorman was a good director for the movie, but they are very, very different men.
Yeah, yeah.
It's fascinating. But just, yeah, it's just like an examination of manhood.
Yeah. John Boorman's pretty badass.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. My number five, I went with just all my picks are kind of recent. Just, you know, stuff I've been watching.
Fairly good idea of one movie that's going to be on this list for you.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. You know, it's up there. But I start off with 127 Hours, 2010. I made all my list, like, man versus, like, nature kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Because I feel like there's other survival movies, like war, stuff like that. So mm-hmm. I think there's a lot of subgenres. But I strictly made it Man versus Wild, my list.
That's my number one.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Really? That high?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. You loved it that much?
Oh, yeah.
Well, let's talk about it then. I'm sorry to spoil your number one. It's my number five. You know,
I liked it, but it's not even an honorable mention. I figured someone would talk about it though.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it's us.
There you go,
Kevin and I.
Yeah.
So
it's probably on Jenny's list too.
Yeah, probably. Yeah.
I think so. It was on her real like films based off of real life.
Yeah, yeah. Based on a true story.
Yeah, based on a true story. Yeah.
This movie is. I always thought, like, how the fuck is he going to make this entertaining? Like, and then James Franco's like, I know.
Yep.
I'll cut my arm for real. And then have it reattached. You're like, as long as there's some ice there, we're good. This movie's fun. And like, in a weird way, like it's funny at parts. And mm-hmm. it goes all over the place. But just the way Danny Boyle shoots things and, like, the score of it. And, man.
The score, the sound effects.
Yeah.
I mean the whole scene itself, the crazy scene itself. You feel what he's going through in that scene.
Yeah,
it's painful to watch. I thoroughly enjoy the movie, but every time I cringe until it's over during that entire scene. And it's like you feel it in your body. It's not just like, oh, this is all horrible to watch. It's like you, the sounds.
Yeah,
you're feeling what he's going through. It's just awful.
Yeah, and. Just the way it starts, like, it's just like, oh, like, thing after thing that went wrong. And you're like, oh, man. And then in The Rock, for people who don't know this, who've been stuck under a rock, maybe, themselves, it's a story of kind of like a hiker, right?
Aaron Ralston.
He's an outdoor adventurist.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because he does, like, mountain biking and hiking and rock climbing.
Yeah.
So he's out.
He's kinda, one of those guys. He's one of those active people who makes me feel bad about sitting around watching movies about active people.
Is it bad that I'm like, fuck this guy? like I'm like, I...
Oh, well, does this make you feel worse, though, that even with one arm, he's still probably way more active than you are?
Yes. And that's why I'm like, screw this guy, man. With his active, you know, lifestyle and...
He's handy capable.
Fit physique. Yeah, so he goes out. He's out, like, mountain kind of climbing. Not mountain, rock climbing. Kind of, and he gets stuck between a rock and a hard place,
mm-hmm.
literally, and he's stuck in this little, like, nook, this crevasse, and he's gotta figure out, there's nobody in sight, mm-hmm. he can't really call for help, and he's gotta figure out how to get out, and it's based on a true story, so if you don't know, hey, he chops his arm off,
yeah,
so, not chops, as much as gnaws. Yeah,
because he doesn't really have something that
he's
got to do it very slowly.
Yeah,
he pries his arm off.
Yeah, very slowly. Oh man, I feel like I could watch the movie again, but not that scene. It's just pretty hardcore for me. Yeah, and it's shot very awesomely. Mm-hmm. It's shot in digital, but it's one of those digital movies that I like. I like when Steven Soderbergh shoots in digital. I like when Danny Boyle does it. But some people do it and they don't do it right.
They don't. I mean, those guys have kind of an eye, and they're auteurs in their own sense, yeah. where they have a vision, and they're not just doing it because it's digital, they're in a way they're using the fact that it's digital to kind of show their vision.
Yeah, yeah. So 127 hours.
And Franco, it's probably my favorite performance of his. And honestly, the year that it came out, if Ryan Gosling wasn't so good, I would say that Franco was probably my second favorite.
Wait, did you see Flyboys?
Oh, okay. Second favorite performance behind Flyboys. Like, I always forget about Flyboys because it's so underrated. But, yeah, yeah.
Oh, wait, no, you guys, let me tell you right now, you just wait for Loveless to come out. Ooh. Or Lovelace.
Did you see that already?
It's Hugh Hefner. He's so good for the 2 seconds. No, I'm just kidding. It's not that he's bad. It's just, he's barely in the movie.
Like, you saw it already?
Yeah. A test screening. Ooh. A while back.
Interesting. Is there a lot of nudity?
There is a lot of nudity.
Mm-hmm. Specifically from him.
Well,
in his 2 seconds of scenery, fully nude. No, I'm just kidding.
Full frontal. But yeah, so 127 hours. My number 5. Kevin's number 1.
Yep.
Spoiler alert. Kevin, what is your number 4?
So my number 4 was on your favorites of 2012 list, and it's The Gray.
You bastard. That's my number 1.
Payback.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I love this movie. It's funny, I've watched it a couple times since... I watched it before I did my list of 2012. It was hard. My top three of 2012 could have, depending on what day, could have all been my number 1. So, Kevin, tell us about The Gray.
So even though it wasn't even... wasn't even in my top 10 for 2012, it's still a really good movie. And the first time I watched it, I liked it. And it did... I've watched it like 2 or 3 more times now, especially now that it's just on streaming. And it is really good. And I think one of my favorite aspects of the film are all the actors. Every actor is just at the top of their game and doing a fantastic job. And they're all playing their role really well. And they're all actors that I've always just thoroughly enjoyed to see on the screen. I mean, besides Neeson, you have Dallas Roberts, who yep. is fantastic, and Dermot Mulroney, Frank Grillo, who's just he's becoming just I need to see Frank Grillo in more films.
I have a man crush on him. Yeah, I can say that. No, he's just like, it's funny because Frank Grillo is like a man's man. You know, like you're like, oh, this guy's. Some people are like, this guy's just an actor. But you look at him, you're like, yeah, that guy punched somebody out, dude. Mm-hmm. But like you said, like I feel like every actor in this movie could play the lead. Like yes. they could have swapped parts. Like, no, okay, now Frank Grillo is going to play the lead. And then, you know, and like, okay, now Dallas Roberts is the lead.
Yeah.
It could have, anybody could have been the lead in that movie. It's just such a great movie. The cinematography, I loved it. It just...
Oh, yeah. I mean, I think it's probably the best looking Joe Carnahan film. I think on the 2012 list, I talked about how I'm glad that he's kind of moving away from that stylized element and just kind of taking his time and just being more expressive with his shots and camera and being in a way that, I mean, there's like the stuff with Frank Grillo. It's very poetic, especially that one shot. And it's very beautiful. And I like what Carnahan's doing. I can't wait to see what he does in the future.
Yeah, and I'm glad he's. I saw this interview, like this 2-part interview, where he talked about everything, like Mission Impossible 3, because he was going to direct that. Mm-hmm. He talked about like kind of like his failures and like his successes, and he talked about how he, like, because everybody's like, why did he do A-Team? And he's like, well, that he had this like weird itch. That Mission Impossible 3 had left him, like, to make this big budget movie, and he's like, I went and did it. Now I could go back to what I do, and I'm glad that he's not doing that, because I think he's just such a great, like, and it's hard to say indie because he still gets like $30-40 million, but kind of like lower budget movies, you know.
Mm-hmm. Well, and if you look at The Gray, it's a character driven. I mean, yeah. It's about people, different yeah. people, and
so is like Narc. It's mm-hmm. more about it's character driven, and I like that more gritty. I like the gritty stuff he does, because like Smoking Aces is cool and all, but it's like too stylized for me, and even though I like it, it's all style and not a lot of substance.
Yeah.
So, but again, I like everybody in this. My favorite scene is when that dude's dying, and
that one guy.
Well, the death scene when you see somebody die.
The other actor besides Dallas Roberts from Rubicon.
Yeah, yeah. Who, like, you see him like literally, mm-hmm. it's not like, oh, the guy gets killed. No, he's like, literally he dies on screen. And it's one of the, like the best trooper, I can't say the word.
Portrayal of death.
Damn it. Damn you words.
You need to have another beer.
Yes. It's one of the best, like acted out scenes. It just like sad, like it instantly, like if I remember it, I could probably make myself cry. but yeah. Isn't that Badge Daly?
Yeah, James Badgedale.
Yeah, he's good. Yes. Can't wait to see him on Iron Man 3. I think he's in.
Oh, I'm going to have to check that.
I think he is.
That's cool.
But yeah, The Gray, my number one. Damn it.
Yeah, I love that. It's not really surprising to me.
Yeah, it's very still. Yeah.
I still feel bad about not liking it as much as you guys, and I need to revisit it now that it's on Netflix. I keep saying that, but I haven't yet. But I still don't think it's anywhere near as good as Narc.
I think it's way better than Narc.
Yeah, I think I'd like it more than Narc.
Yeah, I don't know. I just love Narc. Yeah. Maybe if Ray Liotta were in The Gray, I'd like it more.
Yeah. And for people who don't know, we should describe this movie as well. It's basically these guys that work kind of like in an oil refinery. They are heading back home and their plane goes down in Alaska. And they have to survive the elements and this weird pack of wolves chasing him. Mm-hmm. And it's funny because they were asking him in an interview. They were asking Joe Carnahan, like, yeah, wolves aren't known to do this. But he's like, look, he like gave an example of like this weird thing that happened in like up in Alaska with like bears. And he's like, they're never known to do that. But he's like, in some freak instances, there's, you know, there's an exception to everything. Sometimes nature goes nuts and, you know. But yeah, so I love The Gray. Adam?
What's number four?
Yeah.
All right. So my number four, I just feel even worse that I'm having this as number four after The Gray. But there's a theme to my list.
Okay.
And it works with this theme. And it's 1983's The Survivors.
I've never seen this.
You've never seen The Survivors? No. It's Robin Williams and Walter Matthau?
Nope.
I haven't seen this either.
They're, oh my gosh. Okay. So Robin Williams, again, it's the whole suburban man deciding to like own his manhood and go out into the wilderness. And there there's two guys who just have a chance encounter in a diner that gets robbed. And they both just lost their jobs. And Robin Williams, like Walter Matthau, is just kind of very passive about it and just kind of going to try to go along and make his way. But Robin Williams just kind of loses it and snaps and decides to like fight the system and like empower himself and take control of his life. And it just kind of, he takes it to the ultimate extreme and ends up joining a crazy survivalist group who goes out into the wilderness and is basically preparing for the like this crazy libertarian group preparing for the collapse of civilization. Meanwhile, the guy who robs him, like there's this whole, it's this really convoluted story where the guy who perpetrates the robbery, basically Robin Williams and Walter Matthau inadvertently foil it and they see the guy's face.
Oh.
And so he's spending the movie trying to kill both of them while Robin Williams has gone off to this crazy wilderness camp to survive on his own in the elements. And it's Jerry Reed from Smokey and the Bandit.
And Waterboy.
Yeah. Yeah. Jerry Reed's the thief who keeps telling Walter Matthau that he's going to kill him if he doesn't get Robin Williams to stop just being crazy. Because like Robin Williams, at one point he goes on television and like rails against people who are complaining about he and Walter Matthau intervening in a robbery. And people are saying, you should have just let him rob the place and just gone along with it. And you endangered everyone's lives. And just Robin Williams keeps going crazier and crazier and crazier. Like it starts off, he buys a gun and then he buys a bunch of guns and he's got like a knife belt buckle and his wife leaves him. And then that's why everything collapses and he moves out into a cabin in the woods and just has nothing but guns.
Wow.
I can't believe you've never seen this movie. I think it's hilarious. It's really funny.
This sounds awesome.
Robin Williams and Walter Matthau are great together. Jerry Reed is hilarious as this like hitman. He's like this low level con man slash thief who passes himself off as a hitman and claims that he killed Jimmy Hoffa.
Wow. And it's a thriller?
It's a comedy.
Oh, okay.
It's a comedy. It's just a dark comedy. but again, it's about like this whole suburban mentality where everyone is so watered down and kind of losing a sense of yourself as a man. And
yeah.
And it just kind of makes Robin Williams go nuts.
Ooh.
So yeah, it's an interesting, I think this movie and Deliverance make an oddly fitting pairing.
I can see that as a double feature.
Yeah. Probably end with this one, so you end on the high note.
Yes.
Yeah. But it's really funny, and then again, just about kind of questioning what it is to be a man.
You don't want to be like a squeal like a pig.
Yeah, no, you don't want to go out on that note.
Yeah.
You had me at Robin Williams and Walter Matthau together and how awesome their chemistry is, because I love the two of them. So
they're very funny together.
Yeah.
Yeah. all right. My number four is from 2000, and it is Castaway.
It's my number three.
I knew there was going to be a lot of overlap here. Well, I thought Jenny was going to be here, so I'm like, well, Jenny, myself, maybe Kevin, but Adam always brings some creepy stuff to the table. So.
Well, no, see, that was one of my interchangeable ones that does work with the theme of my list. So I'm just going to swap it out for something else that also works. But yeah, honorable mention for sure. I figured this is The Gray and Castaway were the two movies. I'm like, all right, well, those are going to be on at least two lists.
Yeah. Well, it's funny because Castaway was one of my favorite, like, well, not favorite because it's kind of horrible, but it was one of the, like, the most well shot, like, plane crashes.
Oh yeah, without a doubt.
Until I saw The Gray.
I don't think Castaway is horrible until the very, very end. Where he's at the literal and figurative crossroads. I'm like, really?
Yeah.
Okay. Sure. And it's not the worst.
No, but I mean, after you've gone through this movie, it's like you're just gonna just be so like upfront and just be like, I'm just going to throw this ending at you after I put you through all this and had this just almost very poetic and just amazingly amazing ride. And then he comes home, goes to all that. And then I'm going to throw this ending at you. It's
the cinematic equivalent of standing up on top of the cliff and dropping the anvil on the coyote's head.
That's exactly what it is.
It's like if you're, I shouldn't say this. It's about masturbating.
You already said that it's about masturbating, so you might as well just say it.
I think our listeners know enough.
It's like masturbating, and then you end up on the dude's face when you get to when they cut away. I'm like, why do porn directors are like cut away to his face? You know what I mean? Like no, most porn is watched by guys. Do not cut away to the dude.
I agree with you.
Adam likes this idea.
That's an interesting. I never really would have thought of describing it that way.
Right, but it makes
it's
sense.
It's a weird. I mean, I don't know that I think it's kind of the opposite of that, because it's like, because you're expecting. Yeah. It's like just giving you. I don't know.
It's not like. I couldn't say it's exactly like that, because you're jerking off and then it cuts to the guy's face. That just kind of you just kind of have to stop. But I mean, the ending of Castaway, it doesn't just make you
okay. I need, if anything,
now I have that in your head.
Well, my problem is I know that my mom listens to this now. So, Mom, I need you to plug your ears first. So, if anything, the ending of Castaway is a cinematic equivalent of the money shot, where the guy just sprays his load all over the girl's face. Like that's what it's just.
It's so unrealistic.
Here it is, all over your face. That's the ending.
Yeah.
I'm rubbing your face.
Exactly. That's exactly what it is.
No, that makes sense. That makes sense.
I don't know how to tell my mom that she can start listening again now, though, that her ears are plugged.
You gotta go, because then she'll hear. What kind of stereo does she use to listen to this? Like a iPod?
I'm guessing she uses her iPhone.
What does she play? Like, plays really loud in the stereo.
It says explicit on the
when
you download it. So she
tell her to listen to it with somebody that's not related to you, and that they can tap her on the shoulder once you.
Yeah. Well, now it's too late. She's tainted her ears with Adam's stories.
Hey, I'm just saying you brought up porn.
Yeah,
it wasn't me.
I feel like my dad doesn't listen to this because he doesn't get my humor at all. Like my parents don't get sarcasm at all. Especially my dad. He's like, his humor is like, he's funny, but it's not sarcastic humor at all. So, so I love Castaway, and I agree. The ending is kind of like on the nose and cheesy. And
I mean, it doesn't ruin the movie for me, because this movie is so freaking good.
Yeah. Well, okay. We're talking about endings. What do you think of the ending of The Gray?
I enjoy the ending of The Gray. I think it's just great. I think I love, because it's the way they pitched the movie through the trailer was stupid.
Yes.
And anybody who's going in thinking that it's a movie about people fighting wolves is an idiot. And so I loved the way he decided to end it.
Yeah, I did too. I didn't need that. And hey, if you want closure, watch the end of the credits. There's an extra scene.
Yeah.
So
I just wish I had known that before.
You're like, fuck this movie, I'm out.
No, that wasn't why then, I didn't like the
movie. And then Sam Jackson shows up and he's like,
Oddway.
You fought well. You're
the Avengers.
I need you to be in the Avengers.
The Avengers you're going to be part of the Avengers Initiative.
You're like broken bottle knuckle man. So, but yeah. So I
kind of want to see that Avengers movie now.
Yeah.
I think he was the first candidate for Hawkeye.
I think...
Because he was a sniper killing those wolves.
I'll tell you the truth. Every movie's ending, well, credit sequence at the end is ruined by Marvel now. Because I think at every movie, I always turn to my girlfriend and go, "What if Sam Jackson just showed up?" You know, and she's like, "No, he's not going
to
show up."
I think you now have to at one point in your filmmaking career have to do that.
Yeah,
it's just have this some like really dramatic film, and then at the end, Sam Jackson just shows up.
Yeah,
and he's like,
"What if like." Joaquin Phoenix is like fucking like the French girl in The Master. And then like here comes Sam Jackson and he's like, I must recruit a crazy man for the Avengers.
Drunk. Yeah. Another drunk. Drunk. To make Robert Downey Jr.'s or Iron Man's drinking look not so bad.
Yeah, yeah. So but very cool. Castaway, love it.
I mean,
and just like all the weight he lost and like
and gained, because he gained the weight to back. Play the role and then he lost it all while
One man show, just him on that island talking to Wilson.
Yeah, it's so good.
It's really interesting. Yeah. He's talking to a volleyball.
Yeah.
Well played, Tom Hanks.
It's funny. Well played. I have a friend who is going to see a screening of a movie. I don't know who the directors are. I'll figure it out right now. I'll look it up. But it's a new movie coming out this year with Robert Redford. And he said, the movie, the way it was pitched to me, it doesn't come out till later in the year. It's Robert Redford on a boat by himself, nobody else, the whole movie. So I'm like, interesting. Okay.
Yeah. Robert Redford.
I can watch his leathery face all day.
So it's the adaptation of I'm on a Boat, but starring Robert
He's
Redford.
I'm on a boat. but yeah, so we'll see how that is. I'm a big fan of like the just one man show. I enjoy that.
There's a lot of stillness.
Yes. And there's a lot of humor in Castaway. Like him, you know, the fire, and like it's Wilson, you know, when he loses Wilson, it's pretty sad.
That's, well, I told you, I feel for that. I watched this whole movie in Circuit City.
That's right.
Tell the story again.
So when I tested out of high school, and so all my friends were still in school, and I had a lot of time to kill. And I was shopping at Circuit City, and I went into the home theater section. They had Castaway on, and it was at the beginning, and it was right at the plane crash. And I sat down to watch the plane crash, and I didn't get up until the credits rolled. And no one said anything.
Really?
No one said anything.
Just some random dude watching?
Yeah, just some guy watching the entire movie. And I was like, I need to really know if this home theater is going to work for an entire movie, just for a section of time.
Pre-9/11?
It was pre-9/11.
All right, just checking. Okay, I know now what the movie is. It is a movie by the writer director of Margin Call.
And
the movie's called All Is Lost.
And that sounds really cheery.
A journey of one man's fight to survive. So just Robert Redford in the cast, no one else. So I'm interested. I like Margin Call. It was fun. Mm-hmm. But that was a really big ensemble, and now there's only one guy. So we'll see.
But it's one freaking awesome actor. So
Yeah. So
I still haven't watched the screener of that we got for your consideration, like forever ago. Just
really?
Sitting there. Yeah. I feel really bad about that. It's just sitting there.
You're a horrible person.
So what, from a year ago?
Yeah.
Last year's Oscars?
Last year's Oscars.
What's on? It's on streaming now. Margin Call?
Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
That doesn't... The DVD is sitting right next to
the DVD
player.
He's had the DVD. He could have just popped in and...
I feel like with me, there's more pressure if somebody lends me the movie. Because I'm like, I got to give this back.
Yeah.
I don't want to be that dude. So, all right, Adam.
Oh, wait. So that
was my number three.
Oh, okay. My number three from 1982. Hey, There you go. 1983, 1982. First Blood.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Again, question of man in the wild, and then what society kind of does to a man to make him more or less wild.
Yeah.
But just an awesome movie.
It's an awesome movie.
Oh, yeah.
I'm a big fan. It's funny. I've been going... I'm a big fan. I nerd out on movies. Like, if I really like a movie, I want to know everything about it. Mm-hmm. Like, everything. And, like, I've listened to Frank Stallone talk about this. You know, I mean, like, just because it's his brother and he hung out with him back mm-hmm. then. They were still talking to each other. So just hearing, like, his stories and then, like the film notes, the press notes and stuff mm-hmm. like that, and just reading everything I can. And this is one of the movies that, like, I loved as a kid because... As a kid, you, for you, was Rambo Part 2. Mm-hmm. That was the movie you wanted.
Yeah.
But then you grow up and you're like, wait a minute. Fucking First Blood is amazing.
It's such a different movie.
Yeah.
It really is.
Yeah.
It's, and I love how much. So, in the scheme of things, as far as this list is concerned, there's Rambo in the middle, and it's close, but it's closer to the Deliverance end of things than the Rambo First Blood Part 2 yeah. mm-hmm. end of things. And I love that. Like, it's just so dark and just the weird relationships in the town and the whole power struggle between yeah. Brian Dennehy and the rest of his police force. Or are they deputies or
yeah,
not, sheriff deputies? Or
I would say police? Deputies.
They were deputies, yeah.
So yeah, him as the sheriff and his deputies and then John Rambo just kind of walking through town and this sort of animosity towards... the other or someone different.
The man.
It's really fascinating. And just him, that the last scene with him and the colonel, and he talks about them drawing First Blood.
Yeah.
Yep.
It's so good. And it's, like, if you've never seen First Blood and all you have in your mind is Rambo or Rambo 3,
just
or,
go.
Yeah.
Yeah, watch
go
it.
Watch First Blood. 'Cause it's so much deeper than the rest of the movies. As much as I love yeah. the Rambo series.
Yeah.
The First Blood is a really interesting.
It's not what
film
part 2 and 3 are. It's
yeah.
It's not the same tone. It's not even the same
no.
ballpark of
no.
same of tone. I know he struggled with the studio because the studio hated that the ending.
Mm-hmm.
They wanted him to die like in a blaze of glory, and he's like, no, you know, like that's not what Rambo is. And I know he at that time he had a lot of money from like Rocky and all this stuff that he had made before this. And he didn't like the first cut of the movie, and he offered to buy the movie from the studio so I could burn it
because
mm-hmm. he didn't like what they were mm-hmm. doing with it. And he's like, well, I want to pay. How much will you sell me the movie? I want to burn it. And they wouldn't sell it to him. And he's like, well, okay, how much I'll pay for you to let me edit it. And they're like, okay, well, give us this amount of money. You're a producer, and you can do whatever you want with it. And that's how he got. That's Stallone's cut. And that is like... goes throughout his life of his film career, like mm-hmm. just hearing how like Rocky got made, and it's just the stories that, you know, he's kind of like strong-willed and he gets his way, and it's the right way, you know. He's yeah. a good writer.
It's he's just, a very good writer.
It's a weird dichotomy with Stallone's movie career where it's like you've got these really like you've got yeah. Rocky and you've got First Blood, but then you've got Stop or My Mom Will Shoot.
Yeah, yeah. I just feel like maybe he didn't evolve as a filmmaker, you know? He kind of stayed, like, he's like, well, this works for me, and this is how I'm going to do things. And I feel like that's not how, you know, the film business works nowadays, or in the 90s, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I just feel like he maybe didn't evolve. But I think in the beginning of his career, he was amazing writer. I know he wrote a lot of Rocky and mm-hmm. Rambo.
Yeah.
But, yeah, Rambo, I mean, First Blood is awesome.
So good.
And he's so good in it too.
I meant to say First Blood, sorry, not Rocky. I know he rewrote a lot of First Blood.
And I want a shirt that says God didn't create Rambo.
I did.
I want that shirt.
And then in quotes, and then the bottom says Troutman.
Exactly.
Colonel Troutman. That's my favorite line when he's like, why would God do this? And he's like, God didn't create Rambo. I did. Who are you, Troutman? It's just awesome.
It's so yeah. awesome. It's so yeah. badass.
He's like, if you're going to go up for Rambo, you're going to need more body bags. Yeah. Troutman's awesome.
The yeah. Shirty Krenna.
Yeah.
May he rest in peace.
Yeah. All right. That was your number 3?
Yes.
Okie dokes. My number 3 is from 1993. and it is a little movie called Alive.
Honorable mention.
Yeah, directed by Frank Marshall, longtime Steven Spielberg producer. I think this is one of the only very few movies that he directed, actually. I really, really like this movie. It was kind of my first introduction to Ethan Hawke, actually. This kind of led to other things for me.
Not Explorers?
Well, yeah, but I feel like it was just kind of like I was too young
to realize it's like, oh, it's Ethan Hawke. I mean,
and like this is like good, like this is a good actor and stuff like that. Plus, you know, I don't think he was doing his best work on Explorers, you know.
But River Phoenix showed him up.
Yeah, yeah. Just shut his face, little face up. It stars for the people who don't know. It is a story of the Uruguayan rugby team that was on their way home. And they crashed in the Andes, basically, the Andes Mountains. And they were out there for months, you know. And spoiler alert, they didn't have any food. It was cold as hell, and they needed to survive. So they started eating people. Started eating their friends.
I really need to revisit this movie because I remember the spoof on In Living Color. More than I remember the movie. Like, I remember Jim Carrey spoofing this as, like, what if Richard Simmons was on the plane and they all ate Richard Simmons?
I do.
I remember that way more vividly than I remember this movie.
I don't remember.
And I haven't seen this movie since 93. So, and I only bits and pieces. Yeah. I've been meaning to rewatch it. I think it's on streaming, isn't it?
It might be. I haven't checked, actually. If it is, I got to rewatch it. I love this movie. I know John Malkovich is in this. People don't know that, but he plays one of the, excuse me, I just burped into the microphone.
We can fix that in post.
Yeah, I'm not going to, though. John Malkovich plays one of the survivors. Like, he's playing, they're doing it like documentary style. That's how they open the movie and close the movie. But they got actors to play the people. And John Malkovich is one of them.
Josh Lucas is in this.
Yeah, yeah. He's one of the dudes. Yeah, there's a bunch of people that you recognize. A lot of character actors. A lot of character actors. And then the big people that you know is Josh Hamilton, Ethan Hawke. Who else would you know? Oh, Ileana Douglas, you'd know.
Ileana
Douglas, sorry. And
Jack Noseworthy.
Yeah, yeah.
From Event Horizon.
That's right. Mm-hmm. Really, there's a bunch of... Michael DiLorenzo.
Head of the class.
And wasn't he in... what was that show he was on Fox?
New York Undercover?
Yeah, yeah. But this movie's great. And watching the documentary that they just released maybe a couple months ago on, like, the History Channel, it was really interesting to see, like, watching that documentary. And then it really filled out for me, like, what the movie didn't. Because, I mean, I had read about it. And my dad had a lot of books on that because he was really big into those type of, like... human survival, you know, stories. Mm-hmm. And I remember him telling me the story before we went to see the movie, you know, like, and really kind of explained to me how they were out there for months and months. And like, and then when we saw the movie, he's like, yeah, he's like, they made it seem like they were out there for a couple weeks, but he's like, they were out there for like, it was a long time.
So they needed an extended cut.
Yeah. It's funny. Cause I feel like this movie has been out for so long that I'd like to see, I mean, if it was up to me, I'd direct a little like HBO miniseries on it. And really kind of, because there's a lot of like stories that the documentary has that they didn't show and stuff, you know, a lot of interesting stuff that they went through. So it's a really, really interesting story. So check it out if you get a chance. Alive from, what year is it again? 1993. Ethan Hawke's badass. That's all you need to know. All right.
Okay. So my number two is from 2010. And it's The Way Back.
Ooh, I didn't see this. With
Peter Weir?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
True story too, right?
True story, yeah. So first the story. It's about these people that are pretty much put in prison, in a Siberian prison, for going against the communists. Or at least people believing that they're against the communists. Maybe they aren't. And they end up escaping the Siberian prison and making it all the way to India.
Wow.
Yeah, on foot.
They're hoofing it?
They're hoofing it.
Yeah, wow.
Yeah, and terrific cast. Jim Sturgess, Ed Harris, Colin Farrell. You got Mark Strong in it for a little bit of time. I don't know how to pronounce your name. Saoirse Ronan?
Yeah, she's got a weird name. Why don't you change her name when she got into acting? Like Mary Stewart.
Mary Stewart.
Yeah.
But I didn't see this movie in theaters, and I don't know why, but it took me a little while to finally see it. I think I actually finally watched it when they actually put it on streaming on Netflix.
Yeah, I think it's still on there.
It is, yeah.
Yeah.
But this movie, you really, I mean, it's 2 hours and 13 minutes, and you really feel the struggle. They go through every different type of environment, from extreme cold to extreme heat, and you just see how much they're willing to struggle to be free, because everywhere they turn, it's run by communists and they're afraid of getting arrested and get put back in prison. And just the main guy struggled to get back because his wife was tortured to the point that she just made up things to say that her husband, yes, was going against the communists. And they tortured her to that point. And he knows that she's beating herself up and hating herself because he's in prison now. He was supposed to be in prison for 20 years.
Wow.
And he just wants to get back so he can be like, it's okay.
Yeah.
Don't,
you had to do
it. Yeah, they were torturing you. I mean, you're going to do what you're going to do because you're getting tortured by these awful people.
Yeah.
You really believe in the struggle. Colin Farrell is awesome. He plays like the only person in prison who's just an actual criminal and who will just kill people and do whatever he can just to, so he can survive. Jim Sturgess, he's the main character. He's awesome. Ed Harris is awesome. The makeup in this is phenomenal. You really see people, like when the people get chapped lips, it looks like you're really looking at someone who's got a windburn or sunburn. And they're just, yeah, it looks realistic and it's awful and it just makes it even better. And then Peter Weir's direction, there's times when he just gets these really beautiful long shots where it's just them walking and it's this vast desert and it's just these little people walking along and you just see nothing but sand everywhere. And that just really embraces the struggle and really just shows how much they're willing to suffer through to be free.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Gotta check it out. Have you seen this?
No, I still need to watch it.
Me too.
Oh. It is on Netflix though.
Yeah, it's on the list of things to watch. Now you pitched it to me, now I have to watch it soon. Damn you.
You wouldn't think. I mean, I think the reason, like, again, I don't know why I didn't see it, but it just didn't seem
Well, you should, because it's Peter Weir.
Yeah, great. I know, and that's the thing. It's Peter Weir, and yeah, you watch it, and it's like, oh, that's right. That's why this is awesome. It's Peter Weir.
Peter Weir is Master and Commander, correct?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's funny. I was rating movies on Letterboxd. Because I like to have more ratings than other people. And I'm like, I go through actors. I'll go through, like, you know, Denzel Washington. And then I'm like, I was doing Russell Crowe. And I'm like, man, I really loved Master and Commander. And I hate that there's no sequels. We should do an episode where we do sequels you want to see. And that would be one of them. Master and Commander Part 2. Part
I'm Dukes. Down for that list.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Howard the Duck Part 2.
Yeah.
Mario Brothers 2.
Waterworld Part 2 and 3.
Really, that was supposed to be a trilogy?
Sandworld. No, I mean, it's not supposed to, but I wish it was.
That's one of his dreams, is to make the sequels.
Yeah, I wanted to have enough clout with the studios, so I'm like, guys, I'm going to pitch you an idea. You're going to love it. Waterworld. I finished the trilogy.
They're like, trilogy? We didn't know it was supposed to be a trilogy.
I finished what Kevin Reynolds...
No. Okay, so I'm the executive. Now, are you going to just do 2 and 3, or are you going to go back and do Waterworld again and start at the beginning?
We're going to continue.
Okay.
We're going to use Kevin Costner.
Okay.
It's going to be amazing.
Get this man out of my office.
He's a third world. It's just sand world. Third movie is just sand world.
Like, you guys ready for this? I'm about to blow your mind.
Yeah.
It's sand world.
Yeah. And part 2, ice world. Yeah.
Yeah, no, that doesn't work. If you had said cloud world, okay.
All right. All right. Where are we at? 2, Adam?
My number 2 is from 1997.
Oh, I think we have the same movie.
And it's The Edge.
Yes!
I knew this was going to be on
the Yes, this is awesome. Well, at least we're both in the same
movie. Yeah, so we're right here. It's an awesome, awesome movie.
One word. Well, 2, actually. It's one person's name. D of Mamet. Like that dialogue, like just like,
so okay, David Mamet doing writing a script about three guys getting stranded in the wilderness and having to fight a bear.
Yep. Yeah,
that's really all you, that's what the poster should say, David. That's just those words.
Yeah,
you should see this movie.
Yeah, I'm a huge David Mamet fan, period. Just I love David Mamet. I think I read his book as much as I can, his mm-hmm. book on like directing mm-hmm. and like it's just, oh, I love that guy. And I feel like he's like a no bullshit kind of guy, you know. He's just mm-hmm. like, this is how it is. Screw Hollywood, and this is how I do it.
Mm-hmm.
This movie's awesome. Surprisingly, directed by Lee, what's his name?
Tamahori.
Yeah, he directed like the crappy James Bond movie.
Yeah.
Ugh.
Okay, I don't want to rain on your parade, but that doesn't narrow it down. There are quite a few crappy James Bond movies.
He was in charge of like.
He did Die Another Day.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
And then he did.
The.
Wait.
You have to emphasize it.
Wait for it. He did the crappiest James Bond movie.
Right. The crappiest. James. Not the crappy James
Bond. Well, and then he did the crappiest Ice Cube movie, XXX State of the Union.
Oh, that's.
Whoa. XXX State of the Union. I didn't see it, but that's worse than Ghosts of Mars.
I'd rather watch Ghosts of Mars, I think.
That's true. Actually, I have.
Because it's got the Ghosts of Mars, at least.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. But XXX State of the Union, it's got Exhibit. You know, at one point he goes and asks for Exhibit's help to fight.
Now, I haven't seen it, but is that worse than Are We Done Yet? Because, I mean.
Well, are we there? Are We Done Yet? Or is it a sequel, right?
Yeah.
I don't know. I haven't seen that one, so I can't tell you.
Yeah.
So. I may have lied. I may have spoken to
you. I mean, yeah, because you haven't seen it, so you haven't really seen his entire filmography.
Based on my Ice Cube knowledge. Anaconda is better than this. There you go.
I second that.
They got snakes this big?
There's snakes out there this big? I always say that. No one gets
that. I
should have
put that on here.
Yeah. That's a survival movie. The great Jennifer Lopez.
They can survive making this movie.
Yeah. And John Voight is in this. So.
Yeah.
Yes, The Edge. Let's talk about The Edge.
Okay, so The Edge. So on top of the fact that you've got David Mamet writing a movie about three guys getting stranded in the woods and fighting a bear, but you've got Alec Baldwin...
In his prime.
And Anthony Hopkins...
In his prime.
Acting opposite each other.
Yes.
In a love triangle with Elle McPherson.
Yep.
Yeah.
And then you've got poor Harold Perrineau playing the token black guy.
Yeah. Like, oh, I wonder which one of these three guys is going to die first.
Okay. Spoiler alert, he's a black guy in a thriller movie, thriller / horror. So and if you watch the trailer, he's barely in it. Like, you don't realize that he fights the bear based on the trailer from my memory. So,
yeah. No, you don't.
Pretty clearly, you realize he's not fighting the bear for very long.
Okay, in the defense of the film, he did cut his own hand, so he's kind of an idiot.
Well, yeah, he was not. Again, the reason this movie fits in with my list is it's more urban, suburban men stuck in the wilderness.
Mm-hmm.
And so. Yeah.
Well, with Anthony Hopkins,
With Anthony Hopkins, who he doesn't seem like
he'd survive.
The survivalist type, but he's interested in it and he reads up on it. And.
Well, he's just smart, period.
He's a really smart guy. Yeah. And so that kind of, but it's that aspect again where it's like the measure of a man in the wild when it's just him against the elements. And then you've got Alec Baldwin and Harold Perrineau who are like, one of them is a photographer.
Yeah.
And they just, then one of them, what is his assistant?
Alec Baldwin is the photographer.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
And like, yeah, he cuts his hand like doing something simple. And like they leave the bloody rags up where the bear can just smell it and they're asking for trouble.
Well, they're man-eating bears. Come on, man. Yeah.
Yeah.
I like when Alec Baldwin's like lost all like hope, and he's like, "Yeah, the bear's gonna kill us, man." And he's like, "We're gonna have to kill him. Say it." He's like, "How we're gonna kill him?" He's like, "We're gonna lure him." Anthony Hopkins is awesome.
Two of them together, they just do so well. And then I don't know if we talked about this before, but apparently, the book, What Just Happened. Is based on making this movie.
Oh, really?
About how Alec Baldwin didn't. Have you seen that movie, What Just Happened,
no.
with Robert De Niro?
No.
Robert De Niro plays a producer who's having trouble with a couple of his movies, one of which is involved. It involves one of his actors who wants to go against his type. And Alec Baldwin, I guess, is that the actor that this was based on.
Wow.
Where in what just happened, it's Bruce Willis playing the sort of Alec Baldwin character. And he puts on a bunch of weight and he grows a beard and he doesn't want to be the Alec Baldwin from
City Guy.
From Hunt for Red October, I guess. Yeah. And so I guess that experience making The Edge is what made What Just Happened.
Oh, wow.
Which it makes it really weird. Like if you watch or read What Just Happened and then go back and rewatch The Edge, you're like, oh, okay, I kind of see that. I see that he's doing something a little bit different from... It's like, where does this fall in relationship to some of Alec Baldwin's other movies?
I don't know. I just know that this movie, like... Also, it has so many facets to it. Like, it's like a survival film, but then it's like... It's like... especially with Anthony Hopkins' character, where, like, you know, he was about to kill him, you know? Like, mm-hmm. Alec Baldwin was about to kill Anthony Hopkins, and even after that, he still helps him, and he mm-hmm. still saves him, and, like, mm-hmm. he still kind of, even in death, he has this, like honor for this guy who kind of was his companion. Like, mm-hmm. yeah, this guy tried to kill me, but he didn't. He failed, and why sully his image? Like, screw it, you know?
Mm-hmm. Well, it's like David Mamet just kind of his... deconstruction of manhood in general, just at an extreme level where it's like the sort of the bonds that men can have he forgives him for Anthony Hopkins forgives him for trying to kill him, and that's like a staple of male behavior, I guess. It's like we're much more easy to forgive and less likely to hold grudges or something.
Yeah, and also like he says something about cowards, like because Alec Baldwin is a coward, mm-hmm. you know, like for a lot of the movie, mm-hmm. you know, until he gets a gun. So it does say a lot about like just like being a man, and I feel like a lot of these survival movies are about that, about like who people are as men when it comes down to it,
mm-hmm.
what are you made of, you know? And I like that exploration of man.
And LQ Jones is in this movie.
Yeah. Are there any good now it got me thinking. Well, so far all like the movies are sexist. Men. Yeah, we're being sexist. I wish Jenny was here to, well, you know.
Meryl Streep. Wild.
Oh, yeah. And
she's the one who's right. kicking the ass. And
that's true. That's true. All right. Well, that was my number two as well. You know, what else do you need to know? The Edge. It's pretty badass.
Actually, one of my honorable mentions, I mean, for how much I like the movie, mm-hmm. it would be on the list, but I think it makes up for it.
Yeah.
For the lack of women. Well, I mean, I guess I feel like now I should have it as number one because of what you're talking about, but.
Which one?
I can't tell you. I'm not my number one yet.
Okay.
It's not my turn.
All right. Well, that was my number two as well, The Edge. Okay. Kevin, you're number one.
Okay. So my recap, number five, The River Wild, four, The Gray, three, Castaway, two, The Way Back, and my number one was 127 Hours.
That's right. Adam?
Okay. So my number five is Deliverance. My number four is The Survivors. My number three is First Blood. My number two was The Edge. And my number one is from 2007, Into the Wild.
Nice.
Really?
Yeah. I really, really like this movie. Someone told me about this movie because they said, oh, I thought you should read this book because I feel like this is something that you would do. I'm like, wait, what? You think I would go out into the wild and die?
and by your own fault? Like, no one, it wasn't like you were stranded or out there, you know? Like,
well, he was stranded, but it was...
His own making.
It was his fault, but, I mean, I understand. I'm not making excuses for Christopher McCandless or whatever his name. Yeah. What was the name that he went by? The weird name that he decided to tell people.
His nature name?
Yeah.
I forget.
This is directed by Sean Penn.
Yes.
Yep. Stars Emil Hirsch. I like that guy. He's really good.
He's really good.
Really good.
I think he's very... Lately, I haven't seen him in a lot of things, and the things I've seen him have been like interesting parts. Like I like his career.
Interesting choices.
Yeah, yeah.
And by interesting, I mean odd.
Yeah, yeah. I want to see him a little older and playing character parts. I think he'd be really good at that.
Mm.
I think he's very interesting. When did I discover this guy? He was in The Emperor's something? The Emperor's?
The Emperor's New Club? The Emperor's Club.
The Emperor's New Groove.
Emperor's New
Groove. No, The Emperor's Club with Klein.
Kevin Klein.
Okay. And then where
I remember The Girl Next Door.
That's right. I fucking...
It's all about the Dangerous Lives of Altar Boys for me.
Really?
Oh, yeah. That was really good, too. Yeah. I forgot he was in that.
I didn't see that one. Got to check it out.
Oh,
check
yeah. that Kieran one. Culkin.
Yeah.
And Jodie Foster.
Jodie Foster.
That's a really, I really like that movie.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's
that could be a survival movie. Surviving parochial school.
Yeah. That's actually its own subgenre.
Oh, okay.
He's in that movie with that Peter Berg movie, the new one, with the Lone Survivor. But the true story about the Navy SEALs guys in Afghanistan.
Okay.
Hmm.
But yeah, so back to Into the Wild. You love this movie?
I do. I really enjoyed this movie. I mean, as a whole, like it's a kind of an experience to me. Just the visuals and what's going on with the characters and Eddie Vedder's music, just kind of like you needed all of that together. And it just kind of all gelled for me.
Yeah.
And I do like the, and then again, that whole idea of just kind of losing everything and going to find yourself in the wilderness. I do. That's what the person who told me that they thought that I would do. That's what they were talking about. Like the whole kind of leaving everything behind and just kind of going into the wild and trying to make your own way in the wild.
Hmm.
At least that's what I hope they meant by.
No, they're like,
I think you would just die.
Yeah. No, they're like, I think you eat poison berries. You don't know how to distinguish them. Yeah, for me, it was more like it angered me, this movie.
It angered you?
Yeah, like, I'm like, yeah, you could have gone to college and like, I don't know. It just, I mean, I'm just not that type of person, I think. And like, it angers, for some reason, it angered me. Especially at the end, I'm like, this fucker, really? Ate fucking berries and fucking died. That's what we're gonna, you know, like, I don't know. There's something about that type of person that I didn't like about him.
Okay, I mean that makes sense. That he did seem to have some hubris.
Yeah,
he's just it is a crazy idea to just go into the wild with your book and like a couple of supplies and your gun and decide to live in the Alaskan wilderness on your own. And not tell your family. Again, it fits well with 127 hours, the whole not telling anyone where you are.
Yeah.
Also, like Grizzly Man, you know, like,
yeah.
Well, don't fuck with the fuck. Don't try to dry hump grizzly bears, you know? Maybe you won't get mauled. So, yeah. I'm
interested more in the idea, not necessarily the result of his quest.
Yeah.
But and like all the characters he meets on the way, like
yeah, that was
Zach
cool.
Galifianakis character,
Hal Holbrook's
character, especially
he was good.
Vince Vaughn,
Catherine Keener,
the couple, Keener,
right?
Yeah.
What's her name? Kristen Stewart.
She was good in that.
That's sure. And they got to go at Holy Mountain before they tore it down.
Yeah. Really?
Yeah, that big paint mountain. Mm-hmm. That was a real place out by the Salton Sea, but they made him tear it down because of like the paint. They were worried about the lead paint affecting the environment.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh wow.
So it is no more.
Oh wow.
Unless he decided to build it again. Hmm. Last I heard, they made him tear it down.
Oh wow. That's interesting. I've been to the Salton Sea. It's pretty crazy. It feels like The Walking Dead. I drove to this town called Bombay Beach.
Yeah.
I'm sorry if you're from Bombay Beach. You're listening to us from there.
I don't think they have high-speed internet.
Yeah, I don't think they do either. It literally felt like The Walking Dead. I felt like we were survivors, like, looking for other survivors. And we go to this town, and we drive, and I drove with my friend Stuart. And there's nobody in the streets. There's no kids playing, nothing, no... Nobody working on their cars, nothing. And I went on it was a holiday week. I forgot what my girlfriend was doing. She was busy, but it was like a Memorial Day, one of those like Mondays at the holiday. So you expect, we're like, oh, let's get out of the city and just, you know, go somewhere. And we went to the Salton Sea just to go and take pictures. And you expect, oh, it's a holiday, people are home, and nobody was out. No,
if your
nothing.
Home is Bombay Beach at the Salton Sea and it's a holiday, you probably go somewhere else.
Probably.
Yeah.
Maybe, but it was, and then we drove around, we finally saw a little movement in one of the houses.
Zombies.
Through a window, and then we're like, fuck it, let's get out of here, it's creepy. But yeah, there was a bar, there was only one bar, restaurant, that seemed like, it was like a restaurant bar, and there was only one place, there was no stores, no like convenient, nothing. And so we drove by it, and it was open, but no one coming in or out, just, there's one car in the parking lot, and we're like, should we go in? I'm like, what if this is like a weird town that we don't like non-locals?
You were waiting for the kids to show up and say, Outlander!
Yeah, locals only. And then we get out and our like tires are slashed. And like, no, let's get out of here. So, yeah. I'm not a fan of the Salton Sea or Bombay Beach. But so that is your number one.
That is my number one.
Very cool.
Into the wild. I like that whole idea, the journey that he takes. And I definitely don't agree with a lot. Like the whole, I don't know, like the burning of, when he burns his ID cards, I understand the part where it makes you angry. Because it's like, dude, like I understand you want to kind of make your own way. But that, I don't, something about when he, like he burns all of his money and he burns his ID cards. And he goes and like rides the rails, and no one knows where he is. That seems that part's very selfish and irresponsible.
Yeah, yeah.
But disregarding that part,
yeah,
the journey itself is interesting.
And the idea of going back to nature, just like reading like Walden and Thoreau, and just getting that idea out of it. There's something about that. It's almost, it's going back to your instincts and going back to who we were at one point as a people, and getting rid of technology and all that crap, but getting rid of your identity and who you are and your family and forgetting all that. Okay. Yeah. Whatever.
Maybe bad idea,
but cutting yourself off from technology for a little while and going back to nature, there's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah.
Yeah. I like toilet paper, indoor plumbing, central air, perfectly cooked steaks. Yeah, so my recap is number 5, 127 hours, 4, Castaway, 3, Alive, 2, The Edge, and my number 1 was The Gray. So let's get through some honorable mentions.
All right, well, the big honorable mention, which I would have had if it wasn't already number 1 on another list, was The Descent.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
I love The Descent, and then again, survival movie slash horror movie,
and it's all like female empowerment,
all strong women characters.
Totally. What else you got?
Touching the Void.
Okay. Yeah
it's a really good one. Rescue Dawn has elements of it, not the whole movie, but there's definitely the small part.
I feel like that's a survival, like surviving, like military, like war and stuff. I feel like that's a subgenre that we should touch too.
And then this one I just put on here, but when you actually think about it, it is Man versus Wild, Jurassic Park.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. Man versus Wild, he created.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anything else on your list?
I had two more horror movies, of course. Frozen from 2010, about the kids who get stuck on the ski lift. Yeah. And Open Water from 2003.
Oh, yeah. Weren't they made by the same people?
No. Frozen is Adam Green.
Oh, yeah.
I believe.
I think
the guy who did...
my girlfriend, I think Michelle worked in that.
The guy who did the Hatchet movies.
Oh, okay.
And Open Water is the people who... It's the couple.
Yeah, who are left...
No, I meant the directors.
They did the movie where it was all one take with Elizabeth Olsen.
The Silent House, yes. The remake,
yeah, they did
the that. American version of Silent
yeah,
House.
Yeah. Very cool. My honorable mentions are The Perfect Storm and Whitewater Summer.
Yes, that's right. I forgot about putting Whitewater Summer on there.
Whitewater Summer, if you don't know. Another little Kevin Bacon movie where he's on the rapids.
He torments people who are whitewater rafting.
Yeah. He tortures children.
Yeah.
And it's Sean Astin playing like this like nerdy New York kid who gets sent off to like this like adventure, like camping experience. And Kevin Bacon's like the lead. And he's basically the youngest kid on there. One of the youngest kids. It's a total of 4 kids. And they're supposed to go like out like camping and learn how to survive on their own and catch their own food and stuff. And Kevin Bacon's kind of like this hard ass who's like trying to teach him lessons about like, you know, catching fish the right way, meaning that, you know, like the hard way.
Yeah.
And like making a fire and like surviving. And at one point he leaves them to fend for themselves and like just treats them like really, you know, harshly. And at the end it kind of pays off. He saves.
His life becomes dependent on them.
Yep. So, was Kevin Bacon a dick? Yeah, in the beginning. But did they learn a lesson?
But I mean, weren't they technically kids that had some behavioral issues?
I think I know he was like not like a, he was, what is it called when you're not social, like antisocial. He was antisocial, yeah. And the other kid like had allergies to everything, and I think the two older kids were like kind of like delinquents or something.
Yeah.
So it's funny. One of my favorite parts is when the two older kids are like talking. And he's like, so then I changed it and I put candy in her pill, and Charleston's like, what are you guys talking about? The pill, man. And like that was like a big thing. Like that, they're like, whoa, PG-13, guys. Talking about the pill. But yeah, that movie is fun. I remember watching it as a kid, and it was really fun. And like I was like, oh, Kevin Bacon's a dick, but man, did they learn a lesson? How to survive the rapids and build a fire, and you know how to build a tourniquet. But yeah, and then at the end of the movie, you find out that he's in Central Park the whole time. He didn't go back to the nature. Spoiler alert. So yeah, that's it. Anything else?
I think that was it as far as my honorable mentions.
Very cool. All right. Little business. Guys, if you're going to buy something off Amazon, buy it through our website. Go head on over to the Film Podcast and click on the bottom left side, the Amazon link. Click on it. Go about your business buying stuff. And then we get some cash thrown our way. So that's as easy as that. Doesn't cost you a thing. And it helps out on the, helps us buy equipment and stuff. So. Or if you just want to, like, donate to something, like, we're like, hey, I just came into a bunch of money. My aunt just died. And you want to just throw us a couple shekels? Just head on over, too. We have a little donate button. Donate something. We'll buy some new microphones or, bribe some guests to come on the show. There's a lot of things we can do with that money, What else we have? Follow us on Twitter. Please follow us on Twitter. If you're not following us, please do that. Do so. That helps out, maybe getting some sponsors and such. We are at the Film Podcast, so head on over to Twitter and do that. You can follow me on Twitter if you're interested, at Ricardo, U-L-T-R-E-R, I just forgot to spell my last name. Ricardo, last name, spelled U-L-T-R-E-R-A-S. Halfway through that, I was like, I bailed. My brain went, later, we're done. And I couldn't recover, because sometimes you're like, okay. But my brain didn't let me.
It's a good thing you don't have to drive anywhere after this.
I know.
You can find me at an Adam Scott, AN_ Adam Scott.
And I'm at KZuberbeer. That's ZUBERBIER.
Very cool. And, follow our other friends. Follow Adam and his blog at shootingthescript.com if you want, in-depth reviews and such. And then head on over to, if you, you fucking love movie stuff and you like, I want more lists and really in depth, old movies, new movies, just in general, you head on over to our friend, Rupert Pupkin Speaks. Just Google that. Rupert Pupkin Speaks. I think it's called, it's Rupert Pupkin
Speaks. Rupert Pupkin Speaks. .blogspot.com.
Yeah. Check that out. And he's got some great lists. And follow him on Twitter as well. Rupert Pupkins. No, he's Bob Freelander on Twitter. Oh, man. Too many names for that guy. He's got too many aliases. I feel like he's like a future criminal. Like, they're like, yeah.
He's a master of disguise.
We're looking for Brian Sauer, a.k.a. Bob Freelander, a.k.a. There's so many AKs to that guy's name. So, yeah. Follow us on Twitter, Facebook. Come on, guys. Let's do this. And until next time, have a good week.